The shir you're about to listen to is based on the Mishnayos and Maseches Yuma. Maseches Yuma, Yuma means the day of Yom Kippur. Maseches Yuma primarily deals with the avoda of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. The eighth parak goes into halacha lemaisa of what can and cannot be done Yom Kippur. For example, the discussion of eating and drinking and not anointing, etc. on Yom Kippur. That is in the eighth parak. We're going to focus on many of the Mishnayos in the first seven prakim, but we will jump around. We won't skip back and forth. We will just go forward, but we will skip some Mishnayos along the way because we want to focus simply on the Avoda on Yom Kippur. And there are some additional Mishnayos in the Masechta that don't directly relate to the Avoda done by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. The purpose, the objective of this year, obviously, you can listen to it all year round. That would be great. But its specific objective is that we can listen to it in preparation for Yom Kippur so we can have a full appreciation or a fuller appreciation of the avoda that we read about during the Musaf on Yom Kippur. Before we get into the Mishnayos, it's best to have Mishnayos in front of you as we go through because we will be jumping around and it's going to be easiest to follow in the text. Just want to give some high level that our Masechta starts out with the preparations that the Kohen Gadol did the 7 days in the week prior to Yom Kippur. It goes through in detail the actual avoda, and then it ends off with a short mention of a celebration on Motzei Yom Kippur when the Kohen Gadol got out and had a successful day. On another high level, as we'll see as we go through detail in the Mishnayos, there were five phases of the Avoda, which were characterized by five different times the Kohen Gadol would tovel b'mikvah, he would go into the mikvah, and they were associated with five different changes of clothing. So we have five phases of the Avoda, characterized by five changes of clothing, and it went like this. There were two types of clothing that the Kohen Gadol wore on Yom Kippur. The Bigdei Zahav were the eight garments that he wore all year round, and the Bigdei Lavan, which were the special four garments that he wore on Yom Kippur. The Bigdei Zahav were worn during phases 1, 3, and 5, and the Bigdei Lavan were worn during phases 2 and 4. So even numbers was Zahav, odd numbers is Bigdei Lavan. We will also see, as we go through the Mishnayos, that the Kohen Gadol went into the Kodesh Kadashim four times during the Avoda. It was all wearing the Bigdei Lavan, so it was only during phases 2 and 4 while he was wearing the special Begadim, the Bigdei Lavan, the white clothing that were worn only on Yom Kippur, that he went into the Kodesh Kadashim. Three of the times he went in were during phase 2, and one of the times, in order to clean up certain things that he had left there during phase 2, was when he went in during phase number 4. So that's the lay of the land, and now we're going to start. And we're going to start with Perek Rishon, the first Perek, and we'll work our way through. And Mir Tashem will have a good understanding of the different steps of the Avoda, the Kohen Gadol, on Yom Kippur. So here we go. Perek Rishon, Mishnah Aleph, Shivas Yamim Kodem Yom HaKippurim. It was 7 days, the week before Yom Kippur. Mafrishin Kohen Gadol Mibeso Lelishkas Palhedrin. They would separate the Kohen Gadol, that means from his wife, and he would come and live in the Beis HaMikdash for a week, and they would bring him to the Lishka special office, a chamber called Palhedrin, which overlooked the temple courtyard. Umaskini lo Kohen Acher Tachtab, and they would actually have a spare Kohen, somebody who would substitute for the Kohen Gadol. If the Kohen Gadol becomes Tamei or unable to do the avoda, we need to have a Kohen Gadol. This is called the Skan Kohen Gadol, Shema Ye'arabo Psul, in case there was a Psul with the Kohen Gadol. We're going to jump now to Mishnah Bet. Mishnah Bet says as follows, Kol Shivas Hayamim Hayazorek Es Adam, the entire 7 days, the Kohen Gadol would be preparing, so he's getting very used to doing the Avoda, so he did the Zrika, the spritzing of the Dam on the Zbeach of the Korban Tami Chalshacha that was brought every day, Umaktir Es HaKetores, and he would bring the daily incense offering, that's the Ketores, Umeitiv Es HaNeros, and he would also clean off the ash in order to light the menorah on a daily basis, Umakriv Es Rosh V'Aregel, and he also would makri, literally he would shecht, but he would shecht the korban tamid shel shachar, and also he would put the rosh and the regel and all of the other parts, that's the head and the legs of the korban tamid shel shachar and the tamid shel ben arbaim, the communal, the daily offerings, he would put it onto the mizbeach. Jumping down to Mishnah Gimel, Masru lo zakeini mizikne beistin. So when the Kohen Gadol was there for the entire week, they had zakeinim from the Sanhedrin Agadol who would work with him, teach him all the halachas, recording the fun of Beseder Hayom each day. They would work on the various halachas, going through the avodas, so he'd be thoroughly familiar come Yom Kippur. Mishnah Dalit, kol shiva sayamim lo hayu moni mimenu ma'achal mishnah. For the entire 7 days in preparation, he was permitted to eat and drink whatever he desired. However, Erev Yom HaKippurim im Chashecha came Erev Yom Kippur, getting close to the beginning of the fast at nighttime. Lo hayu manichin oso le'echol harbe. They did not let him eat a lot. Mivnei sha'machal mevi asashenu. Because if when you eat a lot, it makes you tired. And when you're tired, you sleep. And the Kohen Gadol had to stay awake the entire night. So he did not have a psul overnight. He didn't have any flows, so which would make him psul from acting as the Kohen Gadol during the Avodah. So he was up all night. So what would they do with him all night? How would they keep him awake? So Mishnah Vav, Yimai HaChacham, if he was a Talmud Chacham Dorsh, the Kohen Gadol would give a shir through the night. Vim Lav, if he wasn't a Talmud Chacham, wasn't able to give a shir, Talmidei Chachamim Dorshin Lefanav, then others would give a drush in front of him. Yimai Ragil Likros Kor, if the Kohen Gadol was somebody who typically learned Chumash, let him learn Chumash. Vim Lav, Kohen Lefanav, if he didn't learn Chumash, they would read to him Chumash. Mishnah Zayin, Bikesh lis namnem, if he started to nod off, to fall asleep, pirche kuna makin lefana be'etzot rada, the young Kohanim who were attending to him would snap, wake up, omri lo ishi Kohen Gadol, our master, the Kohen Gadol, amud, stand up, afek achas alarisa, put your foot on the cold floor so it will wake you, masikin oso ad shiagiyaz man ha-shchita, and they would keep him involved and active until the time of shchita in the morning began. Mishnah Ches, in fact, even before they did any shchita, in the middle of the night they did the Trumas Hadeshin. The Trumas Hadeshin was taking some ash off the outer Mizbeach. The Mishnah says, b'chol yom tormi mesad Mizbeach b'kriyas ha-gever, on all days of the year, almost all days of the year, they would do the Trumas Hadeshin at dawn, or close to dawn, a little before, a little bit after, didn't matter. They would do it from midpoint of the night, from Chatzos HaLaila, in order to not have the Kohen Gadol do it during the day. We want to reserve his energy because he has a lot of actions to do, a lot of avoda to do during Yom Kippur. So let's let him do the Trumas Hadeshin in the middle of the night so he can conserve his energy when he needs it during the day. We are going to jump forward now to the third parak. Parak Sheni doesn't deal with the avoda of Yom Kippur. Mishnah Aleph in the third parak, Amar Lehem Amamuna, the person who was appointed there, the coin that was appointed in charge there, Tzu'u Uru'u, he would say as follows, Imi Igiyaz Man Shchita, is it bright? Is the sun coming up? So we can move forward with the Shchita of the Korban Tamid Shel Shachar. Mishnah Gimel says as follows, Ein Adam Nichnas La Azara La Avoda Afilu Tahor Achid. Well, this is talking about all year long. Hey, Kohen cannot do the Avoda unless he does Tfilah in a mikvah. The same thing applies to the Kohen Gadol today. He has to go to mikvah. He went to an outer mikvah, and it says as follows, on a high level, this is going to be our trajectory throughout. Chamesh Tfilos Vasara Kiddushin. There were 5 different times the Kohen Gadol went to mikvah. That's the Chamesh Tfilos. And Asara Kiddushin. The Kiddushin was when he washes his hands and his feet together. It's called the Kiddush Yadayim Viraglaim. That was done 10 times during the day. Tovel Kohen Gadol Umekadesh Babayom, that the Tfilas and the Kiddush Yadayim Viraglaim that the Kohen Gadol did throughout the day. Vekulan Bakodesh Al Beis Harparven. All of that was done in the Chatzar, the Beis HaMikdash, on top of the Beis HaParva, one of the chambers, Chutz Mizol Bilvad, except the first one, which was done in a chamber overlooking the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. We're now about to enter phase number one. In other words, the Kohen is going to take off his personal clothing, and he's going to get dressed after he does a tefillah in the mikvah and a kiddush yadayim v'raglaim. He's going to get dressed in the big day zahav. Those are the 8 garments that he wears all year round. He's going to start off wearing the big day zahav today and will do the daily avoda. He'll bring the, he'll shach the Korban Tamid Shel Shachar, and he'll do the Ketores. These are the avodas that are done on a daily basis. It's the Kohen Gadol who does it on Yom Kippur. He has to do, in fact, all of the avoda. Mishnah Dalet, Peres Husadin Shalbutz Bein Olavein Ha'am. What they did was they held up a sheet that was made of linen in order for the Kohen Gadol to have privacy because the mikvah was outside on top of one of the lishkos. Pashat Yarad v'taval, he took off his personal clothing, he went into the mikveh, he did a tefillah. This is the first tefillah of the day. Allah, he got off and he stopped and he dried himself up. We will be seeing the same language five times as he goes through each of the tefillahs of the day. Hey, vilo big de zahav, they brought him the first change of clothing from his personal clothing, which are the big de zahav. The golden clothing, eight garments, v'lavash, v'kidei shadav raglav. He puts on the big de zahav, and he does the first kiddush yadayim v'raglayim of the day. He viu lo esatamid, and they brought him the korban tamid, shal shachar, krasu, yishachset. He did the shchita, meirak, achar, shchita, yadon. Somebody else would complete the shchita, meaning the Kohen Gadol did the minimum amount, because he actually had to do the Kabbalah, so he couldn't do them at the same time. So somebody else would finish off the balance of the Shechita. The Kohen Gadol did the minimum Shechita necessary to make a kosher. Somebody else completed it. And at the same time, the Kohen Gadol kibel as the Hadam Uzrako. The Kohen Gadol did a Kabbalah. He received the Dam of the Korban Tamid Shal Shachar in a vessel, and he did the Zrika on the Mizbeach. Nichnas lahaktir Ketorah Shal Shachar. And also now, he goes in to bring the Ketoras. The Ketoras on a daily basis were divided into two. Part was done in the morning, part in the afternoon. So now the Kohen Gadol is doing the Ketoras of the morning. And he goes to the menorah and he cleans off the ash from the prior day, and he prepares the candles, the menorah to be lit. Ulahakri vesarosh vesayvarim. Beta chavitim v'tayin, and also is makriv the various parts of the korban tamid shal shachar on the mizbeach, and also the various other libations and the wine and the flour, etc., that was brought with the korban tamid shal shachar. Mishnah vav heviul ohula beis haparva. Now we're going into the second phase. We're going to do the second tefillah of the day, and he is now going to put on the big day lavan, the special clothing for Yom Kippur, Uba Kodesh Haisa. Now the second tefillah is in the Chatzar. It's in the Kodesh area of the Beis HaMikdash, Per Susadin, and it goes through the similar steps that we saw before. They'd put up a sheet for the Kohen Gadol, and he would go, and he would, before taking off the white clothing, the Big Dei Laban, he would do a Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, and then he would take off the clothing, and then he would go down into the mikvah, and then he would get dressed in the Big Day Lavan. And after he got dressed in the Big Day Lavan, he did another Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. So in the end of the day, we have a Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim before he takes off one set of clothing. Then he takes off the clothing, he goes to mikvah, puts on the second set of clothing. In this instance, it's the Big Day Lavan. And then we have a second Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. So up till now, we have had two tefillahs and three Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. We're going to jump down to Mishnah Ches at this point, just a little bit background. We are now going into the second phase of the Avoda. The Kohen is wearing the Big Day Lavan, the special clothing for Yom Kippur, and he's about to do the vast majority of the special avoda done on Yom Kippur. And it's going to focus on three different types of, we'll call it karbonas or offerings. The first is going to be the par, which is a bull. This is brought from by the Kohen Gadol personally. That's the par. Number two is the shnei se'irim, two he-goats, shnei se'irim. And number three is the ketores, which is the incense. And what is going to be complicated as we go through the Mishnayos in the second phase is he's not going to do the avoda with the par and finish it and then go on in a linear fashion to the Snei Seirim and then to Ketores, but we're going to mix everything up. He's going to start with the par, and then he's going to go on to the Snei Seirim. He's going to go back and forth between the par, the Snei Seirim, and the Ketores. We're going to have to keep track which of those we're working on and what's happening with the other at the same time. So we're going to work our way through those three variables, but we'll have to keep on focusing back on, are we talking about the par, the Snei Seirim, or the Ketoras? And all of this is in phase number two, while the Kohen Gadol is wearing the Big Day Lavan special for Yom Kippur. So now we're going to go on to Mishnah Ches. Balo Eitzel Paro, the Kohen Gadol comes to his bull, his par. He bought it, he paid for it. Uparo haya omed bein ha'ula v'lemizbeach. That par, that bull, is located right now between the Ulam, which is the entryway into the Heichal, which leads into the Kodesh Kedoshim, and the Mizbeach, Rosh Hashanah. And we have this par standing there. Its head is Ladarim, to the south, Upanav Lamarav. Its body is towards the south, Upanav, and its face is towards the Ma'arav, towards the west, which is towards the Heichal, V'Hakoin Obe Mamizrach. The coin, his back is to the east, Upanav Lamarav, and his face is towards the west. V'Somech Shteyadav Alav Misvadeh. Now the Kohen Gadol does smicha. He leans both hands on the animal, on the head of the animal, and he does his vidui, the confession. As we will see, there will be three confessions of the day. This is the first one, and it's very interesting. The Kohen is going to say a confession on his par for himself and his family. That's going to be the vidui, and we're going to see three vidui with similar language, so we're not going to read all three of them, but we will point out differences as we get to vidui number two and number three. So this is the first vidui, the vidui that Kohen Gadol says on his par, Ana Hashem, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, when it says Hashem, it was the Shema Mefurish that was said by the Kohen Gadol. So at that time, everyone who was standing around that heard the Shema Mefurish, the special name of God that otherwise was not uttered like this, they would bow down, they would prostrate themselves on their hands and their legs, they would be prone on the ground, spreading out their hands and their legs, and they would say, Baruch Shem Kevod Malchus Sol Olam Ve'ed. This is what we do during the repetition of the Shemona Esrei, during the Musaf, when we're talking about the Avoda. That is why, also, when the Shema Mefurish came out, as we say it, of the Kohen Gadol, we also prostrate ourselves on the ground. V'kachai Omer, on his bol, Ana Hashem, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avisi, Pashati, Chatasi, Lefanech, Ani Obeisi, we have sinned. We have done various types of sins. I and my family, Ana Hashem. This is the second time he says Shem Hashem in the Vidoy. Kaper na la avonus v'lepshaim l'chataim. Please forgive us for our avonus. These are various types of sins. The chataim are the sins done by mistake. That is listed last. And avonus were deliberate sins. And pshaim are rebellious sins. I did it in a fit of rebellion. When we have our Vidoy, we don't paskin that we go in this order. We go from the least severe to the most severe. So in our Vidoy, we say chataim avonus. But this was according to one shita that it was avonus b'im chataim. Okay, continuing. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give us an atonement for all of these three types of sin. Shavisi v'shapashati v'shachati l'fanach anubisi, that I and my family, is talking about his household. Kakasu b'soras Moshe avdacha, please give us an atonement, as it says in the pasuk. Ki b'yom hazeh chaper laichem l'taretchem, because on this day, talking about Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us a kapar, an atonement, michol chatosechem lifnei Hashem titaru, that we should have a full atonement in front of Hashem. So we see that the Shem Hashem was said three times when he says the Ana Hashem twice, and then Lifnei Hashem when he says the Pasuk three times. People would hear the Shema Mefurish Vehin Oni Machrav while they were prostrating on the ground. They would repeat, they would say, Baruch Shem Kevod Machusol Olam Ve'ed. As we will see as we go through, when we have three vidois, we will say, the Kohen Gadol will say Shem Hashem three times in each of the vidois. That is for a total of nine. And then, as we will get to shortly, when he appoints the Chatas LaHashem, one of the two Seirim, which we're about to start talking about, he will also say LaHashem, so that it will be 10 times that the Kohen Gadol will utter the Shema Mefurish, and that everyone around would hear, they would prostrate themselves and say Baruch Shem. Mishnah test. Now we're moving over from the par. All we did with the par so far was the vidui. The Kohen Gadol did the vidui for himself and his family on the par, and now he's jumping to work on the shnei seirim, the two goats, the two he goats. Balola mizrach ha'azara. Now the Kohen Gadol moves over to the east side of the azara, litzvon ha'mizbech, on the northern side of the mizbech. He's standing at the shar, the gate called Nicanor. Haskan miyamino, the skan kohen was on his right side. Varosh beisav lismolo, and the head of the day's avoda, another coin, was on his left side. And also v'sham shnei seirim, and the two goats were there, one also on the right side of the Kohen Gadol, one on the left side of the Kohen Gadol. V'kalpi ha'isa sham u'bashnei goralos, and there was a box there in front of him with two lots. And we will see that the Kohen Gadol will put both of his hands into the box at the same time, pull them out. So now we're going to jump to Perek Revi, Mishnah Aleph, Taraf Bekalpi. So now the Kohen Gadol puts his hands quickly into the box, Ve'ela Shnei Goralos, and he would take out two lots, Echad Kasuv Alav LaShem, Ve'echad Kasuv Alav LaAzalz, and one of them said LaHashem, and one was designated LaAzalzel. And each of those, LaHashem LaAzalzel, each of the he-goats would be chosen for one of them, Haskan Miyamino, Ve'Rosh HaBeis, Shmolo, in addition to having one goat on his right and one on the left, there was also the skan coin on the right side of the Kohen Gadol and the brush base of on his left side. Im shel shem alab yamino, if the one that was designated, the lot that came up, that said Lahashem, came up in the hand of the right hand of the Kohen Gadol, that was a siman tov, that was a good sign. Haskan omer lo, so the skan standing as an on his right side would say, Ishi Kohen Gadol, my master the Kohen Gadol, haba yamin, lift up your right hand, vim shel shem alab ismolo, if the one that said Shem, the lot that said Lahashem, came up in the left hand of the Kohen Gadol, Rosh Beisav omer, then the Rosh Beisav would say, Ishi Kohen Gadol, haba smolcha, the Kohen on his left side would say, Kohen Gadol, lift up your left hand. So what would he do now that he has these two lots? Nisanamash Neisir Hasirim, he would put them, affix them on the two Seirim, on the two goats, the Omer. When he put it on the one that was Lahashem, Lahashem, he would say Lahashem Chatas. In other words, whether it came up in his right hand or left hand, the lot that said Lahashem or Lahashem Chatas, that was put on the animal on that side that it came up. So if it came up in the right hand, it was put on the goat on the right side. If it came on the left hand, then it was put on the goat on the left side. And when he affixed it to whichever goat it was, the Kohen Gadol would proclaim Lahashem Chatas. Here is the fourth time that the Kohen Gadol is saying Lahashem, the Shem HaMeforash, that people would hear and prostrate themselves and say Baruch Shem Kevod. Rabbi Yishmol Omer Lo Yatzarech Lomer Chatas El Lahashem. Because side point here, Rabbi Yishmol says you didn't have to say Lahashem Chatas, you could just say Lahashem, the Kohen Gadol. Then Oni Machrav, and everyone, when they heard the Shem Hashem, they would say Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuso Lelam Ve'ed. Mishnah Bey is Kasher Lason Shel Zahoris Baruch Sa'ira Mishalech. One of the goats was Lahashem and the other was La'azalzal, it is being sent out to the desert and being pushed over a cliff. So that one, which we're going to refer to as the Seir HaMishtalech, or the Seir La'azalzal, the Kohen Gadol took a crimson, a red wool thread, and tied it onto its, between its two horns. V'himidu keneged beis hilucho, and he turned it around to point, going out of the Shar Nikanor v'la Nishchat, and he tied it on to the Seir LaHashem keneged beit shchita. So he's tied on the lot around the neck of the one that was being the Seir LaHashem. So we have the two. They have been marked. They have their lots on them, each one of them, and also we have a red wool thread on the horns of the one that's the Seir HaMishtalech. Balo Eitzel Paroshnia. So now we are moving back from the Shnei Seirim to the Par. Remember, all we did at the Par, which is located between the Mizbeach and the Ulam, all the Kohen Gadol did was the Vidoy for himself and his family. And now he's going to go back and say a second Vidoy for the other Kohanim. So all other Kohanim will be included in this Vidoy, not only himself as a man, but all Kohanim will be included. This is the second Vidoy. And again, he will be uttering Shem Hashem, the Shem HaMeforash, another three times. We've seen it four times already. The three times when he said the first Vidoy, and the fourth time when he said Hashem Chatas in the prior Mishnah. And now we are going to have it three more times to get up to 4 plus 3, 7 times total. So Balo Eitzel Paroshni is coming back to his par, to his bow, V'somech Shtei Yadav Alav Mizvada. And again, he puts both of his hands onto the head of the par, and he says a Vidoy. And the Vidoy sounds exactly like the one we said already. We're not going to read the whole thing. But the one difference is, the significant difference is, he says this Vidoy is for Ani Ubeisi Ubnei Aaron Am Kedoshecha. So it's for me, for my family, and all Kohanim. So now Mishnah Gimel, now that he said the second Vidoy on his par, he shechts the par. So Mishnah Gimel Shchato, he shechts the par, V'kibel B'mizrak Estamo, and he receives the blood into a bowl. Unisano, he's not going to do anything with this point because he's going to go to the third phase of the Ketores now. So the blood eventually will be sprinkled in various places, as we'll get into. But in order for it to not congeal, after he did shechita, he did v'kibel b'mizrak estamo. He received the blood into a kli, into a vessel, into a bud. Unisanol b'mishu memares, when he would give it to somebody, a kohen, who would sit there stirring the blood
Al harovet haravi'i shebehechal, on the fourth row of tiles that was located outside of the hechal, and he would stir it kadesh lo yikrash in order for the blood to not conceal. And now the Kohen Gadol is going to move on to the third phase. We said the par, then we talked about the shnei sirim. We went back to the par, and now we are going to the ketores. So he's going not al machta. The Kohen Gadol would take an empty shovel, a machta is a shovel, va'ala l'rosh ha-mizbeach, and he goes to the top of the mizbeach. This is the outer mizbeach. Upina gechalim elach ve'elach, and he dug underneath the coals using that shovel. It was a gold shovel, very expensive gold shovel. V'chotze min ha-me'ukalos ha-penimus, and he would dig down to get the best, hottest coals. V'yarad v'hinich, he would come off to the mizbeach, v'hinicha al harovet aravisha bazar, and he left the shovel with the burning coals also on the fourth row of tiles, right next to the blood being stirred, the blood of his par being stirred. Continuing to the Perek Chamishi, the fifth chapter, we are continuing with the Ketores. So all we have so far of the Ketores is we have a shovel with burning coals. Mishnah Aleph, Otziulo Esakaf, they also now, the Kohanim brought for him an empty ladle, Vesamachta, and a second shovel that was full of Ketores. And now the Kohen has to measure the amount of Ketores that he's going to need, and he puts it from the machta, from the shovel that has Ketores in, into the empty ladle. So it goes as follows, v'chafen melo chafnav, you would measure two handfuls of his handfuls, the size of his hand, v'nasan lesoch hakaf, and he put from his hands into the empty ladle. Now the ladle is no longer empty, it has two handfuls of Ketores in it, of the incense, ha-gadol fi-gadol va-katon fi-katno. If the Kohen Gadol was large, he had large hands, he would have a good amount, two handfuls, larger amount of incense in the ladle, and if he was smaller, he had less, but it didn't matter, v'kachai samidasa, it was a subjective standard, and that's the amount that he would bring with him into the Kodesh Kadoshim. So now, the Mishnah continues and says that we're about to go into the Kodesh Kadoshim for the first time on this Yom Kippur. So just to get the context again, we're talking about we're in phase number two. The Kohen is wearing the Big Day Lavan, and we are working with the Par. We're doing with the Shnei Sirim, and now we are doing the Ketores. And with the Ketores is the first time the Kohen Gadol is going to go into the Kodesh Kadoshim. So not al Samachta, the Kohen Gadol lifted up the shovel, which had the burning coals in it, that was in his right hand, Biamino, Ves Hakaf Bismola, and he lifted up the ladle with the Ketores in his left hand. He used the right hand for the coals because it was heavier, so that's why he used the right hand. And now he walks through the Heichal, and he gets to the place between the two curtains. What's going on here is in the Bayit Rishon, there was a wall between the Kodesh Kadoshim and outside the Kodesh Kadoshim. It was an amah thick because when Bayit Sheni was built, it was much taller. They were not able to have a wall stand and be stable in the width of an amma, so they put a curtain, at least according to the Tanakhama, it was two curtains, one at the beginning of that amma, one at the end of the amma, and it was open on one side, that the Kohen Gadol would enter on one side, and then he would walk between the curtains, and then he would go to the other side, which was open on the other side, north and south, and then he would enter into the Kodesh Kodesh in that way, as we'll see shortly. We go into the Echad, Shemegel ben Shtei Aparochas, until he got to the place that there were two curtains, Hamavdilos ben HaKodesh ben Kodesh Kodeshim, that were hanging between the Kodesh and the Kodesh, and the Kodesh Kodeshim. Kodesh is outside the Kodesh Kodeshim, and Kodesh Kodeshim is inside, Ubeineyam Amma, and between them was a width of an Amma, where the wall used to stand in the Bayis Rishon. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Lo'aisa Shem Ela Paroches Achas Bilvad. Rabbi Yossi has the view that there was only one paroches, it was an amma thick. Shenemar, you could only have one paroches, you could only have one curtain, as it says in the Pasuk, V'hivdila ha-paroches lachem, bein ha-kodesh bein kodesh kodoshim, that there was a paroches, it says one paroches, between the kodesh and the kodesh kodoshim. Hachitzona ha-isa prufa min adarim, we're going back to the opinion that there were two curtains there. The outer one was peeled back, it was folded back a little bit, so there was opening on the southern side, so the Kohen would enter on the southern side, and then he would walk between them, and then it says the Pnimis Minatzafon, and the inner one had an opening on the northern side, so accordingly, Mahalach Benem, the Kohen Gadol, would enter on the southern side, and he would go between them, Ad Shemagil Atzafon, until he got to the northern side, where the second, the inner one, had an opening, he Gil Atzafon, he got to the north, Hofech Panav Ladar, he would make a U-turn going to the south again. He's now in the Kodesh Kadoshim. Mahalach Lesmola Ima Parochs, and he would go with his left hand right against the parochas, the inner curtain, Achumagia la'aron, until he got to the Aron Kodesh. Aron Kodesh was there for most of Bais Rishon, Bais Sheni. The Aron was misting. We did not have it. Higia la'aron, he got to the Aron Kodesh, or to where the Aron Kodesh was in the Bais Rishon, if it's talking about the Bais Sheni. Nosein es hamachta bein shnei abadim, and he would put the shovel with the coals between the two poles that would come out of the Kodesh Kodashim, or in the Bais Sheni, he would put it in the place where the two poles came out, because it wasn't there. Tzavar as a katoris al gabe a gechalim. Now that the shovel with the coals is on the floor between the two poles, he would pour the katoris from the ladle onto those boiling hot coals. V'nismale kol habayis kulo ashan, and the entire Kodesh Kodashim would fill with the smoke from the ketores. So now Yatsa Ubalo Bederach Beis Knisa, so the Kohen Gadol would back out, going in the same way that he came in, going between the two curtains. Umispalal Tfila Katsara Babayis Achitzan, and once he got to the outside curtain, he would say a short tefila, Veloyama Arich Betfila, so he would not say an extensive tefila, Shalula Havis, as he shows, so Klal Yisrael would not get frightened if the Kohen Gadol is taking too long. It's possible that he died in the Kodesh Kedoshim, either because he was not worthy to be the Kohen Gadol in the Bais Sheni. Unfortunately, this job, the position of being a Kohen Gadol, was often appointed by the king to whatever Kohen could pay the most for it. Or even if it was a qualified Kohen Gadol, but if he did the Avodah wrong, he also would pass away in the Kodesh Kodashim. So when he got out, he'd say a quick tefillah, because people would be nervous, hoping that everything was okay. So then they would see him quick, easier, when he got out of the Heichal. Mishnah Beis, Mishat Natal Nital Aron, when the Aron Kodesh was taken, when we did not have it anymore, in particular in Bais Sheni, Evan Haisa Shami Amos Nevim Rishonim, there was still the Evan Shtio Shtia Haisa Nikras, there was a stone jutting out in the place that they used to put the Aron Kodesh on top of, and that stone was there from the time of the Nevim Rishonim, that Shmuel and David Gavoa Min Haaretz Olosh Etzbaot, and it jutted out of the ground 3 Etzbaot Va'aleha Hayanos, and that is where the Kohen Gadol used to put the shovel, with the ketores, and burn the ketores on it. Now we are actually going to go back to the blood of the par. So again, we are jumping between the par and the shnei seirim, and then we went back to the par and we did the second vidui on the par, and he shechted, the Kohen Gadol shechted, and then we have the blood, and we have the blood stirring right outside the Heichal on the fourth patch, and then he went and he did the Ketores, and he brought the Ketores in the Kodesh Kedoshim. We're going back to get that blood of the par that's being stirred. So Mishnah Gimel, Natal Es Adam Mimisha Yamemaris, well, the Kohen Gadol went and took the dam, the blood of the bowl, from the person who was stirring it. Nichnas limkom shenichnas va'ama b'makom she'amad. He goes back into the place he went into and the place he was standing. In other words, he goes back into the Kodesh Kedoshim. This is the second time the Kohen Gadol is going into the Kodesh Kedoshim. First time was for the Ketores. Second time is for the blood of the par. And now this language will sound familiar from what we say in the Musaf on Yom Kippur. V'hiza mimenu, he would sprinkle it. Achas lemala, one when his palm was pointing up, and one, and sheva lamata, and seven more sprinkles when his palm is pointing down. In other words, he has his finger extended, initially with the palm up, and he does a drip of blood, and then he puts his palm down, and he dips, each time he dips back into the bowl that's holding the blood, and he drops another seven times with his palm downward. V'loyamis kavin lahazos lo lamala v'lo lamata, and his intention was not to sprinkle the blood on the cover, the kaporis of the Aron Kodesh, either above or below, but rather what he's doing is elakamatz leaf, he would line up the eight drops, because it was one with the palm up and seven with the palm down, so a row of eight, starting closest to the Aron Kodesh, and then gradually going closer and closer to him. V'kach hayamon, and this is how he counted, and this will sound familiar, achas, he counted the one with the palm up, one, and then achas v'achas, and then he would continue counting the one with the palm up and count with the palm down another one, one. One and one, one and two, one and three, one and four, one and five, one and six, and one and seven, for a total of eight. And at the end of the Mishnah, it says, Yatza, this with the avoda of the blood of the par inside the Kodesh Kadoshim is now completed after he has the eight drops in a line working them towards himself. Yatza, now he would go out, backing out of the Kodesh Kadoshim, v'hinicha, and he would put the bowl of the blood of the par al kan hazahav shebeichal, on the stand, a golden stand that was weighed in the heichal. Now he's going to repeat this, but he's going to do it with the blood of the seir la Hashem. So we are going to go back into the Kodesh Kodashim for the third time. Mishnah Dalet, Evilu Esa Seir, so they brought him the Seir, Shchato, he shechts the Seir at this point, Vikibel Bemizrak Esdamo, and he receives the blood in a bowl, so now he has the blood of the Seir, Nichnas Lamakom Shenichnas V'Ama B'Makom Shavad, and he goes in just like he did with the blood of the par, he's going in with the blood of the Seir, LaHashem, and what he's going to do, he's going to sprinkle, again, one time with his palm up, and seven times with his palm down, and he's going to count one, one and one, one and two, one and seven, etc. And now we're going to jump towards the end, actually the middle of this Mishnah. Natal dam hapar ve'niach dam asir. So once he completes all of that with the dam asir, he exits, and now he has the bowl of the vessel with the blood of the seer in his hand. And what does he do? He says, Natal dam hapar ve'niach dam asir. So he takes the blood of the par again, and he puts down the blood of the seer that he just had with him in the Kodesh Kedoshim. And now, v'hiza mimenu al haparoche shekneged aron mibachutz. What we're doing now is we're going to re-spritz blood, very similarly to how it was done in the Kodesh Kedoshim in the same order. In other words, when he went into the Kodesh Kedoshim, he took the blood of the par and he sprinkled, and then afterward he went back in and he took the dam of the seer and he sprinkled. Now we're going to do sprinkling of the dam of the par again, but outside the outer curtain of the Kodesh Kedoshim, standing at the place that right inside the Kodesh Kedoshim is the Aron Kodesh. He's going to do this with the blood of the par, and then he's going to do it again with the Dam of the Seir. Natal Dam HaPar. So now he takes the Dam of the par, v'niach Dam HaSeir, puts down the blood of the seer. We're talking about once he came out of the Kodesh Kedoshim, v'hiza mimenu ala parochas shekeneged aron mibachutz, and he sprinkled the blood of the par outside of the parochas, the outer curtain, right outside, across from inside was the Aron HaKodesh, and he did it again. Achas l'mala v'sheva l'mata. He sprinkled one with his palm up and seven with his palm down, and he wasn't trying to sprinkle on the curtain, but rather he made a row of the sprinkles, eight total. 1 plus 7 is 8, and he counted as he did inside, 1, 1 and 1, 1 and 2, 1 and 3, all the way up to Achas HaSheva, 1 and 7, and then the Mishnah continues, Natal Dam HaSeir, v'hiniach dam hapar. Now he's going to do the same with the blood of the Seir with the goat. So he lifts up the blood of the Seir, he puts down the blood of the goat, he lifts up the blood of the Seir, which is the goat, and he put down the blood of the par, which is the bull. V'hiza mimenu ala parochas shekneged aron mibachutz, and he's going through the process again. Now he's sprinkling the blood of the Seir right outside the parochas. He counts the same way. 1, 1 and 1, 1 and 2, 1 and 3, up to 1 and 7, achas v'sheva. And at the end of the mission, it says, Eira dam hapar l'toch dam asir. So now he's back. He has the leftover blood of the par, and he has the leftover blood of the seer, and he mixes them. So he pours the blood of the par into the blood, to the bowl that has the blood of the seer, and he does it back and forth. He does it into the seer, and then he does it back into the original vessel that had the blood of the par. So now he has one bowl of the combined bloods together, the dam of the par, and the Dam of the Seer. Mishnah Hay says, V'yatza al mizbeach asher lifnei Hashem. We are now going to have the third application of the blood. In other words, the blood was spritzed in the Kodesh Kedoshim, alternating first the Dam of the Par and the Dam of the Seer. Then the blood was spritzed right outside the curtain of the Kodesh Kedoshim, first the Dam of the Par and the Dam of the Seir. Now we have the blood being applied the third time, but it's combined together, the two bloods, all on the Zeh Mizbach Hazav. It's now on the inner altar, the altar that's inside the Heichal. He's Chil Mechata V'yored, and he would apply it first on the four corners, the top corners, called the Kranos of the Mizbeach, and then we're going to drop to a Mishnah Vav. Hiza al taro shel Mizbeach sheva pamim, and what he did then was he cleared off space on the top of the Mizbeach that had coals on it from the Ketores. He cleared a space up, and now he would sprinkle from the blood that he has in the combined bowl seven times on top of the Mizbeach HaZahav, and then Ushiyarei Adam, whatever was left after all the applications of the blood in the Kodesh Kedoshim, outside the Kodesh Kedoshim, near the curtain, and now onto the Mizbeach HaZav in the Heichal, he would take the leftover blood, Hayashofech Yesod Ma'aravish al-Mizbeach, and he would pour it on the base of the outer altar, on the western side of the outer altar. So we have a total of four applications of the bloods in the Kodesh Kedoshim, outside the Kodesh Kedoshim, onto the Mizbeach HaZav, and now onto the Mizbeach outside of the Heichal. Perek Shishi, which is going to mention something short in Mishnah Aleph, then when choosing the Shnei Seirim, or going back, this was done before Yom Kippur, Mitzvah Sar Shiu Shneim Shavim, the mitzvah is that they would be equal, they would look the same, they would have the same value, they would be bought at the same time, but this was not Me'akev, even if they weren't bought at the same time, they didn't look the same, that would be acceptable as well. That's just a side point. Mishnah Beis, we're now in Perek Shishi, Mishnah Beis, we are now continuing in phase two. The Kohen Gadol is still wearing the big day Lavan and doing the Avoda of Yom Kippur. We are still juggling between the Par and the Shnei Seirim and the Ketores. And now the Kohen is going to Balo Eitzel Sha'ir HaMishtalach. He's going to come back to that goat who is patiently or impatiently waiting next to the Sha'ar Nicanor. He had the lot that fell upon him that was La'azal Zel. He had tied between his two horns the red crimson thread, wool thread. So now the Kohen Gadol comes back to the Seir HaMishtalach, V'somech Shtei Yadav Alav HaMizbada, and he leans on the Seir HaMishtalach, and he says the third vidui of the day, as again we're going to see in this vidui, it's going to be very similar language as the other two viduyim. The Kohen Gadol is going to say the Shem HaMeforesh three times, and he says, V'kachay Omer Ana Hashem, Anu Pesho Chatu Lefanecha Amcha Beis Yisrael. The first vidui was on the Kohen and his family. The second vidui was also on his par, was for the Kohen, his family, and the other Kohanim. And this vidui is now on the Seir HaMishtalech. It's the Seir HaMishtalech that will wipe away the sins of the rest of Klal Yisrael. So the vidui is for Amcha Beis Yisrael. And the Kohen Gadol continues the same vidui as we saw before. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wipe away the Avonos, the Pshayim, the Chataim, that Klal Yisrael sinned. And everyone there who would hear the Shema Mefurash again would prostrate themselves and say, Baruch Shem, Mishnah Gimel talks about what happened with the Seir HaMishtalach after this vidui. The Kohen Gadol would turn it over to the appointed person who would be walking it from the Beis HaMikdash all the way out, very far away. It was 12 mil. We estimate in other contexts that a mil is the amount of, is the distance that it takes to walk. It's approximately a kilometer. It takes about 18 minutes to walk a mil. So if the appointed person is going to have to escort the Seir HaMishtalach 12 mil, that is approximately a 3.5 hour walk. That would be my estimate. I didn't see anywhere discussed. I'm sure it's discussed, but it was quite a distance. So the Mishnah in Mishnah Dalet says that the person who is walking the Mishtir HaMishtalech would be escorted by some of the distinguished people of Yerushalayim. They would escort him out to their tchum. Tchum is an amount of that you can walk out of a city on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. It applies on Yom Kippur as well, which is 2,000 amas, approximately a kilometer. So they could walk him out to that amount. So they would walk him out, but he's going to continue. And there were stops along the way. There was what's called in the Mishnah is a sukkah. Every amount of a tchum would be, every 2,000 amos would be a stop that people would be waiting for before Yom Kippur, and they would make sure that the person walking this Seir HaMishtalach is okay, but they could only escort him up until the next sukkah, because that was the end of their tchum. You can only go that amount on Shabbos. He was allowed to, the person walking the Seir HaMishtalach was allowed to go further, because he was doing the avoda, taking the Seir HaMishtalach out into the desert and to be thrown over the cliff, but no one else was permitted to go to that amount. So the person who is walking, it's called the Ish Iti in the Pasuk, he walked the Seir HaMishtalach all the way out, 12 mil, to the end of the Midbar, to a designated cliff. Mishnah Vav, we're walking, going forward to Mishnah Vav, Me'ayahosa. So he got to the cliff there. What will he do with the Seir HaMishtalach? So the Mishnah says, Cholek Lashon Shel Zoriz, he would take that crimson thread that was tied between the two horns of the Seir HaMishtalach, and he would cut it, Chetzio Kasher Besela, he would tie half of it onto a rock that was up by him at the top of the cliff, Chetzio Kasher Ben Shtei Karnav, and the other half he would put and tie back onto the horns of the Seir HaMishtalach, Udecha Fola Achorav, and he would push it backwards so it didn't see where it was going, so it wouldn't attempt to break its fall as it went down the cliff, Umiskal Galvayard, and it would go down to the cliff all the way downward. V'haloya magil achatziar, and he wouldn't even reach halfway down. Atshinase evarim evarim, until its limbs would come apart. Ba v'yashavlo. So the person who walked the seir, he must have been very tired, but he didn't want to stay out in the wilderness. He was by himself at this point, so he came back and he would say tacha suka achrona atshetasha. He would come back to the last stop to stay there, the last hut that was built before Yom Kippur, and stay there until the end of Yom Kippur. Okay, so while this long walk is going on with the person leading the Seir HaMishaleach out, what's going on in the Beis HaMikdash? Mishnah Zayin says as follows, Balo Eitzel Par V'Seir HaNisrafim. So now the Kohen Gadol comes back and we shechted the par, we shechted the seer, we blot their blood, but we still have the carcasses of the par and the seer. That's the seer Lashem. Hanisraf, and they would be burned, so now he prepares them. Kra'an, he would open up their bellies, Vahotzias Emure, and he would remove the sacrificial parts. These would be sacrificed on the Mizbech in the base of Mikdash. Nisana b'magis, he put them into a bowl, Vihiktira Nagabe Amizbech, and he put them onto the Mizbech. This would actually be done a little bit later, but it says it's done now. Kela'an Miklaot, Vahotzian Labesa Shrefa. They would now, those two carcasses, the par and seir, they were entwined together and they were taken out of Yerushalayim and burnt in a place called the Besa Shrefa. Four people would walk them out on two poles and it would be burnt thereafter. So continuing to Mishnah Ches, Amrulo LaKohen Gadol, when they estimated or they knew that the Ish Iti, the person who walked the seir Mishaleach, either it's a machlokas, got to the beginning of the Midbar or the end of the Midbar, that is when the Kohen Gadol could continue with the next steps in the Avoda of the day. So they would say to the Kohen Gadol, when there are three different methods in Mishnah Ches to estimate how the person got to the beginning of the Midbar or the end of the Midbar, but whenever that estimate was up, they said, Kohen Gadol, we can proceed with the Kriya Satorah. So Perek Shvi, we're going to jump to the seventh Perek, Mishnah Aleph, Balo Kohen Gadol Likros. So now the Kohen Gadol is coming to read the Torah, Kriya Satorah, Imratza Likros, Bebig De Vuz Kore. He's permitted to continue reading in the Big De Lavan, the linen clothing that he's been wearing in this whole phase two of the Avodah. He can read in that Vimlo if he wanted to change into his personal clothing, because the concept here is that the Kriya Satorah is not part of the Avodah per se. Korah beats the least Lavan Mishlo. He can wear his own long white robe. It's his choice. And then the Mishnah continues discussing what parts of the Torah that he would lay in for Klal Yisrael. They were located in the Ezras Nashim. Continuing Mishnah Gimel, we're about to get into phase three of the Avod. In other words, the Kohen is now going to be Tovel a Mikvah for the third time, and he's going to change back into the Big Day Zahav. So he had the Big Day Zahav in phase one. In phase two, which was all the discussion that we just went through of the Par and the Shnei Seirim and the Ketores and the Shir Mishalech, one of the Shnei Seirim, all that was wearing the Big Day Lavan, and now he's going to go back to the Big Day Zahav. So Mishnah Gimel says as follows, Imbi Big Day Butzkore, if the Kohen Gadol opted to continue wearing the white linen, the four garments, the Big Day Lavan for the Kriyas HaTorah, he didn't change into his personal clothing for that. We have now Kiddush Yada Varagla. Before taking off the Big Day Lavan from phase two, he does a Kiddush Yadayim Varaglayim. Pashat Yarad V'Tavol, he takes off those clothing, he goes into the mikveh, he does a tefillah, Alav and Istapak, he comes out of the mikveh and he wipes himself off, dries himself off. Heviulo Big Day Zahav, he's going back into the Big Day Zahav for phase number three, V'Lavash V'Kidesh Yada Varaglav. And he did another Kiddush Yadayim Varaglayim once he put on the Big Day Zahav. And in the phase number three, the Psukim tells us that he would bring additional korbanos, which we have not mentioned before, V'Yatza, V'Asas, Elo, V'Esel, Ha'am. So he would bring an isle, a ram for himself, and he brought an isle for Klal Yisrael. And then the Mishnah simply adds on what was done in phase number five, at least according to Rebbe Eliezer, V'Es Shivas Kvasim, another seven Kvasim, Tamimim, B'nei Shana, were brought that were unblemished, that were a year old, and the other Korbanos Hamusav. This was all not brought in this phase number three, according to Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, but was brought in phase number five later on with the Korban Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva disagrees. He says that the Ims Tamid Shel Shachar, how you craving that the Sheva Kvasim, which were part of the Musaf offering, that was brought not in phase number five, like Rabbi Eliezer, but it was brought in phase number one with the Korban Tamid Shel Shachar. But the other Korbanos Musaf of the day,
that the Tanakhama pushed to phase number 5. Here, Rabbi Akiva says, was brought here now in phase number 3. So Upar Ha'ola, Usir Hanaseh Bachus, those were two other korbanos that were brought. Hayu Kravin in Tamid Shalbein Abayim were brought not in the morning, they were brought literally in the afternoon, but what it means now, it was brought now in phase number 3. So we simply have a machlokas. There was a lot of detail there, but the machlokas here is which of the korbanos of the korbanos musaf are brought now in phase 3. Some of them may have been brought in phase 5. Some of them may have brought in phase 1. Okay, let's continue. Regardless, we're now going to move over to phase 4. So phase number 3 was various korbanos musaf. So Mishnah Dalet says as follows, Kidei Shada Varagla Vafasha. We're now going to phase number 4, that the Kohen Gadol is going to change back into his Big Day Lavan. So he did a Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim before taking off the Big Day Zav that he was wearing in phase 3. Meyara, now he's go back into Mikveh, and he does a Tefillah. Then he comes up and he dries himself. And now, Heviulo Big Day Lavan. So now we're entering phase number 4. He's going to put on the Big Day Lavan and he's going to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim for the 4th time of the day. Just to recap from what we saw in phase number 2, he went in 3 times, one for the Ketores, one to spritz the blood of the par, and the other time, the 3rd time, to go spritz the blood of the sa'ir. So now he's going to go in a 4th time now that we're getting into phase 4. So we had the tefillah, the 4th tefillah of the day. We had a kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. Now they bring, well, we had one of the kiddush yadayim v'raglayim before. Now the hey viula big de lavan, they bring him his big de lavan. The lavash, he gets dressed for kiddush yadayim raglav. Here's the second kiddush yadayim raglaim associated with the 4th tefillah. Nichnas, what did he do now in the Kodesh Kadoshim? He simply went in, the hotzi asakafet amachta, the machta that was had the burning incense in it, and the empty ladle that he poured the incense from were still there in the Kodesh Kadoshim. So he went in simply and he took them out. That is the end of phase number 4. We have a kiddush, kiddush yadayim v'raglav. We're getting into phase number 5. So in order to change clothing, we have first a kiddush yadayim v'raglaim to take off the old clothing. In other words, the clothing that he's changing out of, that's the big day lavan from the phase 4 clothing. And so he now takes them off. The yarad, the tava, alav itava, he goes into the mikvah, he does a tefillah, he comes out, he dries himself. And now we're about to enter into phase number 5. So evilo big day zahav, we're changing back into the Big Day Zav. As we started off, we said that the Big Day Zav are worn in phases 1, 3, and 5. So now we're in phase number 5, the Lavash, the Kidei Shad of Raglav. Once he puts on the clothing, as in all other tefillahs, once he puts on the new sets of clothing, he has another Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. The Mishnah doesn't mention it, but here is when he brought the Korban Tamid Shalbein Arbayim, the afternoon Tamid, and in addition, V'nichnas Lahakdir Ketor Shalbein Arbayim, now is when he does the various activities that are done all year round. It's simply the Kohen Gadol is doing it in phase number 5, so that's the Tamid Shalbein Arbayim, and he does the Ketores, the second part of the morning Ketores that he did, is brought now Ulehetiv and he again had to clean off the menorah from its being lit, so he would clean it off, prepare the candles, and light it again. And now, v'kidesh yad v'ragla v'ufashad, again we have a kidesh yadayim v'raglayim, heviulo big de atzmo, and he would put on his own personal clothing, v'lavash, he got dressed. In other words, he has successfully completed the day. This has been a long day for the Kohen Gadol. It is now Motzei Yom Kippur, but he was successful, Baruch Hashem, he got through the day, which evidences that first, he was an appropriate, qualified person to be the Kohen Gadol because he successfully came out of the Kodesh Kadoshim, and also that he did the Avodah correctly, because even if he was qualified but he did the Avodah wrong, he also would die in the Kodesh Kadoshim. So this was a time of tremendous celebration. The tefillah was accepted. Umelavin also ad beso, they would walk the Kohen Gadol, escort him to his house. The Yom Tov Haya Osa Lo Avav, and we make a tremendous yontif for his friends and family. B'sha'ash Yatza B'Shalom Min HaKodesh, because he came out in peace, tranquility, and health from the Kodesh Kadoshim. And on this Mishnah is what our Piyut Mare Kohen, the beautiful visage of the Kohen Gadol, when he came out and how they celebrated on Motzei Yom Kippur that their tefillahs were accepted.